Welcome to Transition, Gadgets 360's gaming and pop culture podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about the Nintendo Switch. It's been almost 1 year since the Nintendo Switch was released, and we'll be looking at a bunch of things, including how Nintendo has been able to release a lot of games, what kind of hardware changes we want from the Switch, and what's the status of some things that we don't officially endorse. So to do that, we have our games editor, Rishi Albani.
Good morning, night, evening, whenever you're listening to this podcast.
Yeah, resident gaming enthusiast, Gagan Gupta.
It's always good night. For me, it's always good night.
Yeah.
Why not good luck?
I'm your host, Pranay Parab. So first up, let's talk about the Nintendo Switch itself. Two of three people on this podcast have bought the Switch. So how have your experiences been?
Well, it's interesting because if you look at what happened pre-release and what we eventually got, a lot of the leaks are essentially true. We saw a hybrid console. We're using Tegra components. We're essentially, you know, I mean, for a lot of the tech world, end of life at the stage of using the Switch. And I mean, so far, Nintendo's been able to pull through. We've got a decent console. It's not there yet. I feel it's lacking in a bunch of places. But in terms of what, I mean, it's essentially what you'd expect Nintendo to do, particularly in a post-Wii era. So yeah, I mean, it's mixed in my opinion. I mean, it's there. It's decent. It's got the building blocks of a potentially good system, but it's not there yet, personally.
Yeah, I kind of agree. When the Nintendo Switch was leaked before it was launched, I mean, we knew that it must be a hybrid console, something that's portable as well as a home console in one system. But what got me at the launch were the Joy-Cons. That was a big surprise, especially the feedback that they showed, like the kind of motion control feedback you have in it. You have that haptic feedback also
HD
in it.
HD rumble.
HD rumble feedback, which works extremely well. I mean, even in games like Mario Plus Rabbids, which is what I'm constantly playing, like that thing feels amazing. Every time you pick up a coin, you feel it. Every time you enter a pipe and you're traveling through that, you feel it in the controllers. It's so good.
I mean, yeah, I kind of agree. It's like, if you ask me, it's the most underrated feature of the Switch.
Absolutely.
It's essentially HD rumble. I mean, sure, it's easy to lose yourself and focus on the tech specs and the fact that, you know, you have a frame rate and resolution that isn't on par with the PS4 and Xbox One. But in a way, the sense of immersion is pretty much heightened because of HD rumble. But then that aside, personally, I feel that Nintendo kind of missed out on a few things here. One is the battery life in handheld mode. I mean, unless you're playing Breath of the Wild, while okay, isn't there yet. I feel that there should have been a better battery out of the box. And second thing is, in terms of online infrastructure and just in terms of basics, why is there no pause button for me to pause my downloads? That is like disturbing me. I mean, fine, I get it. The PlayStation 4 had the same issue at launch, but it was patched in. They patched in a pause button, yes. But then at the end of the day, you'd expect Nintendo to actually have that because, I mean, let's be honest, this device is primarily used on Wi-Fi. And, well, we all know Wi-Fi connections aren't the greatest. So, where's my pause button?
Well, I mean, yeah, there are some concerns. I mean, like, there are a lot of things that have still not evolved to their complete, like, you can say, the true editions yet. I mean, like the eStore, for example, it's very, very bare bones. Even when you compare it to what you see on a 3DS or what you saw on a 3DS first year down the line, it was a lot better, a lot more evolved than this one. Sure, this one's simpler. It's like easy to navigate and all that. But there are a lot of games that just never show up unless you're searching for them or you're going through some really deep archives.
Yeah, so we're recording this on 27th of February. And I think about 1 week before this podcast was recorded, they actually added the ability to put in ratings and reviews for games. So yeah, that kind of shows that the ecosystem like is taking quite some time to evolve.
Yeah, and I do agree with Gagan on this, where we're not at a stage where it's easy to find or discover new content. I mean, it's essentially what you see, what you get, unless you start looking for it. And to me, that's a bit of a concern here, because what it essentially means is, it's like, I mean, to me, going to the eShop is like going to a game store. And no, not in the good way. Because when you go into a game store, fine, you look at the stuff on the shelf and okay, at least there's a guy at the counter to ask if there's anything else that's not on the shelf. But here you're going to have to poke and prod and find your way through. And to me, it's a bit of a concern because, I mean, on one end, you have a lot of developer interest for the Switch. I mean, it's something we've chronicled over the year. We've had the guys from Shovel Knight, Yacht Club Games, who loved working on it. We've had the guys from Strictly Limited, who do physical games, who like working with developers around it, as do the people from Limited Run. There's a lot of appeal for the Switch in terms of publishers, in terms of distribution, in terms of developers. And we've even seen a situation when Nintendo's come to India to vet game developers to give Switch dev kits to. So we're in that situation where there's a lot of hype on the developer side of it, on the content side of it. But then what's the point when it's not funneled properly to consumers? What's the point when you're in a situation where it's tough to find what you want? Because basic features and functionality aren't there yet. And to me, that's the disturbing thing, because if you look at how Nintendo's handled its eShops over the years, we've seen this problem across the board. And this is something I think where Gagan pretty much nailed it on the head. It's not just the 3DS. Even look at the Wii Store, the Wii U Store. A lot of them, they had feature sets which are a lot more advanced. And in my opinion, the Wii U did the best job because it linked very well with the community aspect of it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, none of that's here yet. And until Nintendo figure it out, it's going to be a point of concern. And that's kind of like a bit of a... And it also leads to other factors, right? We have situations where you have every game that's trying to be a game as a service. You have every game that has an online component. And fact of the matter is, we're seeing games release in half and a state that's, for the lack of a better term, half developed. I mean, let's be honest. If you buy a game on a Switch cartridge, you shouldn't have to be downloading 28 gigs. WWE 2K18, we kind of hate you for that. And even for Doom, right? Doom is a 7 gig download once you buy it. LA Noire is a similar situation.
Yeah, that's exactly why I tend to, like, whenever I open the Switch, I just tend to avoid the eShop entirely. I still prefer physical games.
This is even on physical.
Yeah,
that's
even
a problem.
On physical, you have to still download a patch that comes with it. This happened even with Breath of the Wild, in fact. Breath of the Wild, LA Noire, I saw this happen. Then Skyrim also. Speaking of Skyrim, why is Skyrim not in the forefront anywhere on the eStore? I didn't even know it was available on the eShop until until I kind of dug deep into it.
So that's the thing, right? Like, usually games get promoted for the week of release and after that it's on your own to find it. And that to me is a point of concern. And to be honest, it's these little things that seem to be, for the lack of a better term, half-assed that make the Switch not there yet, in my opinion.
That's the problem. I mean, like, every time I start the Switch, I see a Stardew Valley in front of me. Like, even that game is not really entirely new. I know it's very popular. I know it's very cheap. It's constantly discounted and all that, and people love it. Sure, but it's no Skyrim.
But it's,
show me a AAA game.
But it's Harvest Moon for a new generation. That's why. Everyone prefers farming.
From what I hear, it's not exactly there yet. I mean, like 60 hours into it, you're kind of done.
Yeah, I get that. But
Then. So, like, while, you know, games are obviously a hot topic, before we, like, get into detail about, like, which ones to buy and which ones to avoid, we still haven't spoken about the accessories that you must buy with the Switch.
Oh, yeah. I mean, personally, from my experience, while the Joy-Cons are nice... and the
Pro controller forever.
Yes, the Pro controller is pretty much a must-have purchase for a bunch of reasons. One, in terms of build quality, it's perhaps the best controller, period, full stop. There is no controller that has the amount of responsiveness or button feel or even just the build quality that the Pro controller has. And this is coming from someone who uses the Elite controller on a daily basis.
Battery life.
Yeah, that too. The battery life is next level. So honestly, for me, if you have to buy anything, you buy the Pro controller. The second thing you need to buy would be a good scratch card. Now, ideally, you'd want something with a 9H rating in terms of hardness. And that's usually from Hori or a couple of other Japanese brands. Or the Nintendo official one with a 9H rating. You'd want one of those. The third thing you'd need is a carry case. And I cannot stress this enough. You'd want something that's bulky and that's sturdy enough. If you aren't able to get the official Nintendo carry case, which is super bulky, at least the Zelda ones and Mario ones, a really good cheap option is an Amazon Basics case of a big enough size that works fantastically well.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a Nintendo Switch case
in
itself.
Exactly,
yeah.
And it works really well. I mean, that's something I'm using. I think I paid 500 or 700 rupees for an Amazon Basics case, which I usually use for my cables. But for a period of time, I used it for my Switch and it worked just as good as a Nintendo Switch official case.
Yeah, so what about a micro SD card?
No, but besides that, I would like to kind of chime in on the 3 points that Rishi mentioned. Yes, you need all those three things. And with Pro Controller especially, I cannot stress enough how important it is, because I have recently been playing a lot of Mario Odyssey and Thumper, and though I thought, like, okay, I'm gonna be fine with Joy-Cons, it already comes with that attachment with which you can use it as a regular handheld controller, but no, I mean, like, after a while you do feel that hand fatigue with the Joy-Cons because the buttons are kind of tiny and they're just not good enough for something that is very action oriented. So in a game like Thumper, which is completely rhythm based game, you have to keep pressing on the A button over and over again while doing different directional moves, and you cannot play that game for long durations on the Joy-Con. You need something like a pro controller. And I can imagine the same situation for Bayonetta. I can imagine the same situation for anything that has twitch movement involved. As for the carry case that Rishi mentioned, yeah, I mean, the official Zelda ones are, I think, on Amazon for around $2,200.
Yeah, roughly that much.
Roughly around that much. So, like, those are expensive. If you're looking for cheaper options, there's always AliExpress. I mean, like, besides Amazon Basics.
Search and for Nintendo Switch, not Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, yeah, that's a pro tip right there. Search for Nintendo Switch, not Nintendo. And I picked up mine from AliExpress, and they do kind of keep throwing in a pretty good deal every now and then. So for $10, I got a really well cushioned case. It has nothing fancy on it, but I absolutely love it like that. It doesn't grab any kind of attention and all that. If you want that, obviously go for the original ones. But this one, for $10, I got the case and they sent me a scratch guard along with it, which works flawlessly. It has been beautiful. I have had no issues with the case as well as the scratch guard. And plus, it has those nice slots for cartridges as well as the extra cables I carry around. Yeah.
Cool. So let me open the can of worms then. Micro SD cards.
Yeah. So honestly, at the bare minimum, even if you're pro physical like Gagan and me, you'd still want at least 128 gigs of micro SD storage space. And ideally, you'd want Samsung or SanDisk. Preferably Samsung, because at least in my experience, one, they're a little cheaper, and two, the read and write speeds seem to be just a bit better.
And lower failure rates, apparently.
Exactly. So why I'm saying 128 gigs is because a lot of games, even though they come on cartridge, require you to do an extra download. So you have a situation where a game like WWE 2K18 or even NBA or even FIFA, even though it's on cartridge, you'll still have to download a certain amount of it. Other games like Resident Evil Collection, for example, or where Resident Evil, I think Revelations 1 is on the cartridge and 2 has to be downloaded. With the Bayonetta 1 plus 2 collection, Bayonetta 2 is on cartridge, Bayonetta 1 has to be downloaded. So yeah, we'd say at the very minimum, you need 128 gigabytes. Ideally, and if you're the sort who's, you know, embracing the digital future and don't care too much about preservation, you can go with a 400 gig SD card, which is available. But then the problem with anything above 128 gigabytes is that you're paying a price closer to the price of a full Switch. So with a 400 gig SD card, you're paying around close to $200-$250, which is almost the same as the price of a Switch. So why would you pay that much? So that's something to keep in mind. Now, there have been some developments in that regard where 500 gig and 512 gig SD cards are being commercially available. They are available in small quantities now, and we are expecting a larger rollout through as the year goes by. But then again, the pricing is still a problem. So whether you like it or not, it's pretty much going to end up being a necessity, unless you're the sort who prefers, you know, deleting and re-downloading. Because see, unlike the PS4 and Xbox One, which lets you offload games to an external hard drive, we don't have that functionality on the Switch just yet. And there is another option where you could swap micro SD cards, but Nintendo doesn't recommend that for whatever reason. And I'm sure there's a good reason to it. It's probably account-based. I don't know. But that's something to keep in mind.
Another good reason for that would be, like, have you seen how difficult it is to get a micro SD card in and out? It is so dicey, man. I mean, like, that whole stand seems like it's going to break your Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, it does. And honestly, it reminds me a bit of the Vita cart situation, the memory card situation, where you have to be really careful when you put it in and take it out. So
yeah, I think this is one of the biggest failings of the Nintendo Switch as a console. You can't ship a console, like a premium gaming console, with just 32 GB of storage. That's just not done. I think a minimum of 128 GB is in order at some point, considering that both the PS4 and the Xbox ship with, what, 500 GB?
Yeah, but again, it's a question. The thing is, it's not even positioned as a premium console. I do agree, yes, you need a minimum of 128 gig. But where Nintendo is coming from, the situation has never been about quote-unquote premium or even competing. And while I do agree to a point that, yes, it makes sense to differentiate, but storage isn't a place we should be skimping on. Now, will this improve in the future? We don't know. Because as far as we know, at least until very recently, they were competing with Apple for flash memory. Now it seems that because, you know, iPhone 10 sales haven't been what Apple hoped it to be, we might see some flexibility there. But will that impact flash memory on the Switch? Will we see a 128 gig Switch anytime soon? It's kind of unlikely.
It's only right, what, 1 year for the, like, since the Switch launched, right? So I don't expect a hardware revision at least like 2.5 years into.
I think two and a half years would be safe. Nintendo is known for revising its hardware.
Yeah.
We've seen that with the DS. We've seen that with the 3DS. And honestly, we won't be surprised to see it continue with the Switch as well. Now, there are a lot of reasons why this could happen. One is that the supplier is NVIDIA. NVIDIA have done what they could with the Tegra chip, and to the point where, I mean, white papers from NVIDIA are out on the Tegra chip that have made life easier for hackers who be able to, you know, essentially create homebrew and stuff. Not like we endorse any of that. In fact, we don't, because a lot of it does tend to lead to piracy. But fact of the matter is, if NVIDIA is able to, you know, either squeeze more juice out of Tegra or work on an architecture that's backwards compatible with Tegra, then I don't see it being a problem. Because there's one thing which most people don't realize is that aside from the host of new games that are on the Switch, Nintendo have a colossal back catalog through their virtual console. We're talking about games on the Super Nintendo, we're talking games on the Nintendo, on the NES, we're talking about games on the N64, and there's even the possibility and strong rumor of the fact that we might get GameCube games. Now, for those of you who are unaware, the GameCube is perhaps the greatest console of all time. I regret nothing for making that statement. And it has some of the most underrated classics of all time, such as Metroid Prime and Zelda Wind Waker were essentially on the GameCube, as well as the colossally underrated Paper Mario and the Thousand Year Door. So fact of the matter is, you have a console that can essentially play Nintendo's entire library of games from the NES all the way up to the Wii, or even Wii U for that matter. So the question is, when will that roll out? And more importantly, yeah, the hardware can support it, but will the hardware be able to go beyond that? Could we see a Switch Pro? I mean, that's going to be an interesting situation, because if we look at what happened to the 3DS, the 3DS got a revision, which was the new 3DS that had an extra button, and that made life difficult for a lot of
games. And also a little more powerful processor.
Yeah, and that does make a difference. I mean, certain games like Xenoblade weren't exactly backward compatible. You needed to buy a new Switch, new 3DS for it. So, I mean, and Nintendo is not shy about making moves like that. So how that pans out will be a point of interest, because we're already seeing some games taxing it. Xenoblade Chronicles 2, for example, especially in the open world segments, is heavily taxing on the Switch in handheld mode. And even at launch, Breath of the Wild wasn't the greatest in handheld mode either. There's a lot of pop in there, some frame rate issues. It took them a patch or two to fix things. So, I mean, yeah, I do think we're going to see a Switch Pro. It's just that question of when. And I think, yeah, 2 years, 2.5 years, as you said, is a good time frame.
Yeah, so October 2019, probably, like, just in time for the holiday season or something. And yeah, as usual, just expect, like, stocks to be unavailable for the first 3 months or so, and then, like, hopefully the supply will ease out, because I don't think Nintendo would make, like, more Switches out there than people want.
Hey, man, I really hope that they don't come up with a Switch Pro. In fact, they come up with, like, a hardware revision. Sure, I mean, like, the way it's constructed, like, maybe tune the Joy-Cons a little bit more and improve the screen quality, and like the dock definitely needs an improvement, things like that.
The dock needs Ethernet. I really hate this Wi-Fi only approach that, you know, Nintendo has
taken.
Welcome
to the future.
yeah,
but I mean, Ethernet on a dock isn't too much of a problem, because it comes with USB, so you can put in a USB dock. But I do agree that yes, supply is a concern, and it's a concern even till now. There are several publishers and distributors who've spoken to us off record and have confirmed that it is painful to deal with Nintendo's own distributors and suppliers for hardware, to the point where Nintendo, in a lot of regions outside of the US and Europe, are only able to supply 40% of the market's quantities, and that too if you pay upfront. So it's reached a situation in markets like the Middle East, in markets like Asia, Singapore, and even you know, Korea, where what ends up happening is a lot of retailers, a lot of storekeepers, a lot of bigger chains that want to keep store the Switch and sell the Switch have to end up sourcing from the gray market. So it's a situation where a lot of the units meant for Europe, meant for Australia, meant for the US, and a lot of them even for Japan, find their way into other regions because of the supply issue. And keep in mind, in those markets, people are willing to pay more. We're seeing that in India as well, where the Switch is pretty much outselling the Xbox One. I mean, but then again, even the Vita probably outsold the Xbox One. They make of that what you will. But
and that's even after, like, the Xbox One S, but in particular, being available at, like, really low prices. It's
yeah, I mean,
around 20,000, right?
I mean, let's put it this way: you can pick up two Xbox One S's for a price of a Switch, if you know where to look.
Yeah.
And the Switch's average selling price in India is roughly 30,000 rupees. People are willing to pay that 30,000 rupee price point.
Yeah.
And it's doing quite well. I mean, 30,000 rupees is a lot more than what people in the US pay for the Switch, which is supposed to have a suggested retail price of $250. So it's doing well enough. and so honestly, I mean, for Nintendo and its supply chain, they're obviously getting a lot more in terms of quote or in terms of margin than they should be getting.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it works in their better interests not to let this go anytime soon.
But isn't this a problem from Nintendo side itself? Because this has been happening since the last two generations as well. As in the Nintendo Wii had a major, major scarcity at launch. The scarcity didn't go away anytime soon. Wii U also seemed to have the same problem.
Tell me something. Do you think it's a problem or do you think it's a feature?
That's the thing. So it could be something that Nintendo is doing on purpose. I mean, like having a flash sale, for example, in India makes that phone look a lot more appealing. It's working in favor of Xiaomi constantly.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. If at launch Nintendo had a supply of some like, 5 or 6 million Switches out there already, the Switch would be easily available and the hype wouldn't be there and everyone wouldn't want one.
That's the thing. Because people are seeing that these other guys are like constantly doing anything to get their hands on the Switch, maybe it's creating a bigger hype for them, and this seems to be working in their favor, like for every console except Wii U.
But then I don't know, I kind of feel that if you look at how other companies have handled this in the past, when Microsoft had a big hit on their hands with the Xbox 360, when Sony's had the situation with the PS1, PS2, PS3 and PS4, we reached a point where within the first year, year and a half, worst case situation 2 years, supply regulated itself. It was easily available. People still picked it up. Sales were there. And it's a question of getting that right. I personally don't think that Nintendo is going out of its way to create artificial demand. Mm-hmm. I just feel that the stock allocation is where the problem is.
But
because if you have a situation where a store in India is able to get on a regular basis 50 to 60 units of the Switch monthly with no problems, and then you have stores in Japan, US and Europe facing shortages, I think the problem lies in allocation more than anything else.
Yeah, but Switch is in a very different playing field from a PS4 or an Xbox, for example. Like, you know,
yeah, because the PS4 and Xbox are actually available.
And they have games on them. So that's the thing. Nintendo Switch, the biggest highlight for it is obviously Nintendo's own games and a few third-party titles that are really, really appealing. Say, for example, Skyrim, or maybe for some people, L.A. Noire, or maybe like the other third-party titles that they didn't get to play when they actually launched on the other consoles. So that's the thing. I mean, like having probably too many Switch consoles available way too easily might work against them rather than using this little fake scarcity, whatever marketing technique that they have.
Yeah, initially there was a situation where the Zelda games were actually outselling the Nintendo Switch itself. It was that bad.
Yeah.
So people were ready to buy like a Zelda game in advance so that whenever they get the Switch, they can start playing and there's no supply shortage for that.
That sounds like someone like me.
Yeah, but then, I mean, on the topic of games, I mean, it's also been a point of concern on how to get them, especially if you're living in a country that's where Nintendo doesn't have an official presence.
But you know what? Like, even in India, where like 100% of the Nintendo Switches out there have been supplied by the gray market, or you know, unofficial sources, I think getting games is not that hard. You can find them on like official, you can find them on legit sites such as Flipkart and Amazon as well.
Yeah, so about that, look, let's be honest here, it's really easy to find games. It's just that most quote-unquote gamers and quote-unquote Switch owners in India, yes, air quotes, double air quotes, triple air quotes, are lazy. That's the biggest problem. I mean, to be honest with you, I've managed to obtain every exclusive for the Switch with minimal problems. And most of it's been available offline. Most of it's available, I think, except for Skyrim, which I bought on eBay. Everything else is available at your local stores, if you know where to look and if you know where to ask. It's not that tough. It's just called leaving the house. I know for a lot of people that's tough. It's not something they want to do, but I mean, it's the easiest and cheapest way to get your Switch games. Because while they are available on Amazon and Flipkart, you're paying a bit of a premium. Amazon and Flipkart for something like Super Mario Odyssey, the price is like 4,000 plus. Meanwhile, I picked up Super Mario Odyssey for $37.50. And it's not exactly that expensive if you know where to look.
Yeah, I mean, besides just like the official stores, like official sources like Amazon and Flipkart, there are also other places you can look at. I mean, people are constantly selling their used titles, which is a very big advantage of having, going for physical copies. They're selling their used titles for around half the price, which is pretty easy to score. And it's a cartridge, so nothing really goes wrong with it most of the times.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if you just need to look at places like eBay, like IVG, the Indian Video Gamer Forums, you'll find used copies also at a better rate. And also the other thing which most people fail to realize is that the place where it's usually a problem to get Switch games is more or less restricted to Nintendo's own first party output, as in games that are developed and made and sold by Nintendo themselves. So basically Mario, Zelda, stuff where Nintendo's doing the publishing and distribution, like Doom and Skyrim, those are the tougher ones to find because they're done by Nintendo themselves and Nintendo doesn't have an official Indian presence. But other games from, let's say, Ubisoft, such as Mario plus Rabbids, which is published by Ubisoft, or even games like LA Noire, which is again published by 2K, or even Rayman Definitive Edition, again published by Ubisoft, they're easier to find here. And those will be available at regular rates of $3.499 or less. So it's a question of what you want to play and how you want to get it. A game like Bayonetta, yeah, I mean, good luck finding it simply because it's a Nintendo published and distributed game across the world. So your best bet is buying it in Korea. And honestly, the pricing on that is a little steeper because it's not a title that's as popular as, say, Mario or Zelda, where you're going to have more supply. So that's something to keep in mind when you're looking to buy games physically. Also, on the digital front, what we've noticed is games tend to go on sale quite more regularly on the Switch than they've been on any other Nintendo console. So if you have a US account, you'd eventually find what you want at a better price down the line. But then again, like we said, keep in mind that, yeah, you'll need a good enough SD card and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
That's the thing. Digital is very appealing if you have an unlimited internet connection, like a true unlimited internet connection that does not have an FUP or anything like that. I'm perfectly fine downloading digital games as well. I mean, I have no issues with that. I have a good connection that does not have any kind of FUP on it. So that works for someone like me. And honestly, like the hassle of changing cartridges and all is also a very appealing thing. You know, I mean, it's really annoying when you start a game and then you realize you don't have a cart with you at that point. But yeah, I mean, like that said, physical games in a situation like India where games are not available that easily, buying digital games is also kind of a slightly tricky method. All these things do matter in a place like India. So yeah, physical copies would be always preferred over digital.
Yeah, so I would say that all first party games, get them physical, because from whatever I've seen, Nintendo is very good at optimizing the file sizes and all. So extra downloads are pretty much at a minimum. If you look at the Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild, Super Mario Odyssey, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, all these games, like I did not have to download anything extra apart from some minor updates and bug fixes and all that. So all first party titles, I'd highly recommend just get them on physical. Third party games, now you need to be a little careful. There's games like LA Noire, I think, and WWE 2K18, which sort of made you download additional stuff, right?
Yeah, even NBA and FIFA.
Yeah, NBA was notorious for it. I think there was some 80 GB or something of downloads on the Ultimate Edition or something.
Yeah, but that was on PS4, Xbox One. On Switch, it was a lot less.
Yeah.
But it was still problematic all the same.
And you had to have a micro SD card. And it mentions that on the box itself that you need an internet connection and additional storage or something.
That's the worst thing about Switch physical games, where your box art is ruined by this white banner that says micro SD card and internet connection required. I mean, no offense, but that's just bad and it looks bad. But yeah, that's the thing now. And yeah, these are the games you'd want to avoid, full stop. I mean, I frankly believe it doesn't make sense giving a publisher your money when they're going to be asking more for it from you because you need to have an internet connection and extra space to play their games. I think that's, we shouldn't be supporting
and
that.
Plus, a game like WWE 2K18, you should not play on the Switch. Oh my God, it was terrible.
Yeah, it was bad.
Is unreadable. It is so tiny. It is just annoying to play.
I mean, even FIFA 18 in that regard was pretty avoidable simply because it was based on the PS3 engine, which is not even used in any other by EA and any other platforms. It missed key features like squad battles. It missed key features like the journey single player mode. So my point is, a lot of the third party guys end up releasing games that aren't what they should be, and that's something you'd want to avoid altogether. But I mean, that said, what do you want to see from here too?
Yeah, so first and foremost, storage, as I mentioned earlier. 32 GB is just not enough. Minimum of 64 GB is needed on the Switch. I would say 128 is good. If nothing else, just release a second variant, right? Give Nintendo Switch in two variants, 64 and 128, or 64 and 256, or whatever. Like, even if it is not available, like, easily, I would still get the 256 one. I'd wait for it, you know, because it's worth paying for. At the end of the day, when you're charging, like, $4,000 per game, I definitely don't want to be paying more for a micro SD card, you know, along with the console. So that's my number one requirement.
Well, for me, I would go for a dock, man. I'm aiming straight for the dock because the dock is really, really flimsy at this point. I find it very unappealing. I find it very bare minimum. It just gives you an HDMI port and an easy way to charge your Switch. But no, it needs to be a lot easier. I mean, like a lot sturdier. It needs to be something that you feel safe when you're sliding your Switch into it, and like you hope that it doesn't get scratched anywhere. And the dock needs like a pro version, maybe. I mean, something that will even support other things like for home theater owners, like optical out, maybe even like something like 4K support, if I'm not, you know, maybe add a chip in there.
yeah.
Not asking for too much. You
definitely,
know,
definitely happening.
Just staying with the current times.
Yeah. Right, why Nintendo? Not HDR as well?
Hey, I don't mind HDR. I mean, sure.
And why not default thing. 120 hertz and G-Sync support while you're at it?
Okay, now I feel you guys are just making fun of me. So, yeah. No, I mean, the dock definitely needs work. Joy-Cons are pretty good on their own. But, yeah, I mean, the design does need a little improvement because holding the red controller for some people, like, the analog stick is way too in. Maybe they need to figure out what they can do with it.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. I just hate the Joy-Cons. Like, as you mentioned earlier, those buttons are way too small. And, like, if I play any game that, first of all, see, I have this really bad habit of mashing the buttons, even when it's not needed. So every time I play any game on the Switch with in a handheld mode or with the Joy-Cons, I just feel like, you know, I'm digging holes in my thumbs and fingers.
So you see, that's where the genius of Nintendo comes in. I mean, just when your hand starts to hurt with the Joy-Cons, Nintendo Switch runs out of battery. So yeah, you don't have to play that long. Nintendo's looking out for you.
Yeah, sure. All right. So Rishi, your requirement list.
Yeah, honestly, Black Ops 4. I mean, and along with that, proper voice chat support, please. Because the current solution is pretty much garbage. It's hot garbage. It's a dumpster fire.
Install an app on your smartphone, and that app is not available in all regions. So India, just go to hell. Go to the US store and then download it if you want.
Yeah, all hail Nintendo. But jokes aside, I mean, seriously, I don't know what's stopping them from just releasing a voice app for the Switch on the Switch itself.
I think that'll need a hardware revision. I don't think they built the console with that kind of, multitasking in mind.
I'm sure there's a way for them to fix it. But then, to me, that's my biggest requirement. Black Ops 4.
Look, I can live with all of that. Hey. I mean, you know, without having any voice chat and all. But like, just make an online service, right?
Forget voice chat. I mean, it needs basic Bluetooth support. It doesn't have Bluetooth audio support, man. I mean, I cannot attach my AirPods to it or any other Bluetooth headphones to it. You need to have a dongle sticking out of it, a wire sticking out of it.
That's not a bug. That's a feature for an additional revenue stream. I mean, personally, I'd like a better online infrastructure. Black Ops 4, and please bring the virtual console with GameCube games. Preferably all three Metroid Prime games. Thank you very much.
Speaking of which, there's a revision, online store revision coming in April where they're going to be charging you for it. At least that's what they say. You think all these features might come in with that, a virtual console and all?
I don't know. So like the service is actually supposed to go live this year. They haven't exactly confirmed if it's going to be April or September, but it's going
to
be this year.
I think it's more likely to be September than April because they're far from ready right now.
Exactly. And honestly, I think that they're probably... Now, see, what we do know is that with their online service, while it's, I think, $20 for the year, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's $20 for the year, they are giving you free access to virtual console games. So I think they're holding back virtual console games for people to buy into their subscription service. But let's see how that works out. For me, it's basically, Blobs 4, online fixes, and virtual console. I'd like to see those three. And Metroid Prime, please.
If virtual console includes Nintendo GameCube games, it is so worth it. It is absolutely
Eternal Darkness, Metroid Prime, Paper Mario, Thousand Year Door, the Rogue Squadron games. But then considering everything with Star Wars is pretty much Disney.
Then a Switch automatically gets a library of thousands of games at one shot, man. It's amazing.
Not even thousands. Even those those 5 or 7 games on the GameCube are better than entire libraries of other consoles, in my opinion.
Okay, we're looking at you, Microsoft. Cool. So speaking of other Nintendo platforms, Rishi, I believe you mentioned that you want to talk about the possibility of a successor to the Nintendo 3DS.
Yeah, so that's...
And you mean it's not the 2DS XL, right?
Yeah, no, not the 2DS XL. While honestly, the 2DS XL is what the 3DS should have been at launch many decades ago. But so it actually puts Nintendo in an interesting situation. We're in a place where the Switch is probably has already eclipsed its Wii U sales in most markets. It's probably going to hit, it's already close to 15 million sold in its first year alone. And Nintendo is finding it hard to keep up. But what does it mean for the 3DS? So far, they've said and they've maintained that the 3DS occupies its own price point, and they've been right about it. I mean, it's available for a lot cheaper. And the library of games is pretty much, you can't ignore the 3DS. It's reached that point. If you like RPGs, you can't ignore the 3DS. If you like strategy games, you can't ignore the 3DS. If you like Pokemon, well, yeah, where else are you going to play it? Until Pokemon shows up on the Switch, where else can you play it? So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see if Nintendo carry on with that legacy of a dedicated handheld. Frankly, to me, it looks in limbo. Simply because you have what's going on in the mobile space, where, you know, they're more than happy to bring out Super Mario Run, bring out Mario Kart Tour, which is on the way, bring out Fire Emblem Heroes. So my point is, you have a bunch of things already happening on the mobile front. You have a hybrid console that's doing well enough. Would it make sense to continue supporting a dedicated handheld? Honestly, I think we're going to be in a situation where this is probably one of the last years of the 3DS. It might be out. It might be phased out next year. Will we see a successor? I don't think so. I think we might be heading towards a one-console Nintendo.
So if you remember, when the DS had launched, Nintendo had kept Game Boy franchise in limbo. They had said that, it's not completely dead.
Yes.
We might come up with another Game Boy
exactly.
as well.
Exactly.
That never happened.
Exactly. They essentially said that the GameCube is its own separate thing. Game Boy is its own separate thing. Well, they pretty much put it to pasture. And I think that's probably going to happen here as well. So if you're the sort who collects or likes or prefers dedicated handhelds with, in my opinion, better build quality, you might want to get your 3DS fix sooner rather than later.
That's the thing. But I don't think it's going to be much of a loss for either gamers or them, because 3DS always had its hardware limitations. It always had limitations in what it could do vis-a-vis what you are currently playing on other consoles. Switch kind of bridges that gap quite well. And I think it'll be hard for anyone to go for another handheld that is probably inferior in technology and graphics when compared to the Nintendo Switch, and, you know, which is also a handheld. So, yeah, I mean, I think the Nintendo's right play would be to stick to mobile and Nintendo Switch, and it would be amazing. It'll be a great time for gamers, especially if they can get both of these things working together.
I don't know. I would have agreed with you, but then until the Switch gets Bravely Default and Metroid Samus Returns and Mario plus Bowser's Inside Story, no. No, straight up.
Cool. I think that's all we have for this episode of Transition, and we will see you with another episode next week. As always, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Gadgets360. And if you have any questions, comments, or feedback, do write to us at podcast@gadgets360.com. And finally, the music for this episode comes via Magnus Solai Paulsen, whose album PPP PPP is where the tracks are from. Thank you so much for listening.